For the second time, the writer Joan Didion has shared with her readers the story of a loved one she outlived. Didion won praise for The Year of Magical Thinking, her book about the death of her husband, John Gregory Dunn. By the time that book was published in 2005, Didion had suffered another loss, her daughter Quintana Rue, their only child, dead at age 39. Now, Joan Didion has written about that death in her book Blue Nights. Didion has faced some difficult questions, first in life, then in print, and now in this interview with NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg.
Well, look, Joan Didion, you can write, and you've done that, about the death of your daughter. But can you talk about it? And if you can, how do you get yourself to do it?
I think maybe it has not left my mind since it happened, and so I live with it. So naturally, I can talk about it. After a while, I mean, I couldn't talk about it at first, but I can now.
But clearly, talk does not come easily, nor, she says, did the writing of Blue Nights. That's harder for her now, more groping for words, less polishing. Her prose in the past just gleamed. It was so terse, elegant, understated, and piercing. The new book is What's Left After Loss. And, you know, the question that occurs to all of us, and forgive me, I'm asking you the toughest questions first, is how you survive the loss of the two people you love most in this world, your husband, and then very quickly after, your daughter.
Well, we all survive more than we think we can, don't you think? I mean, we imagine things that we will be unable to survive, and in fact, we do survive them.
You think we just have no choice? I mean, what else are we going to
do? We have no
do, right?
choice, so we do it.
Yeah, you can't crawl into a corner in the closet and stay there forever.
Well, you can try. I certainly felt like it.
John Gregory Dunn died of a massive heart attack. Quintana Rue Dunn died of complications from a flu that turned into pneumonia, then septic shock, an induced coma, a brain bleed, 5 surgeries, months in intensive care, a medical and emotional nightmare. Most of Joan Didion's books contain little mantras, quick phrases repeated at various times throughout the text. In Blue Nights, it's this: when we talk about mortality, we're talking about our children. She means the responsibility we feel for them, our fear that harm will come to them from a swimming pool, an automatic elevator, a bottle of Drano under the sink, that we can't protect them well enough. For Didion, the apprehensions arrived gradually. Just after they adopted Quintana Rue, they had seen that name on a map of Mexico, liked it, chose it. The writer says she acted as if she'd gotten a doll, not a real baby, something to dress up.
We had many dresses. We had 66 dresses that she got for christening presents.
Sounds like your friends were as clueless as you.
Yeah, everybody was clueless. Everybody to do with this angel baby had no clue.
But they were so delighted, as you were, to have her, huh?
Yes.
In a while, the realities of baby and child-rearing set in, and the new mother dealt. In part because, as Didion writes, Quintana had no idea how much we needed her.
I needed her in the sense that she was simply the center of my life. And I needed someone to take care of.
So a place to put your feelings, your focus, your more than your writing.
I needed to put it in my writing, but I also needed to put it in this person who was actually in the house.
Quintana Rue Dunn was an affectionate child, bright, funny. She posted a list of mom's sayings in their garage in Malibu.
Brush your teeth, brush your hair, shush, I'm working. She and a friend in the neighborhood each posted their mom's sayings in the garage.
Were you a nag or just an ordinary?
No, I was a nag who was totally wrapped up in keeping some time free for myself, obviously.
Quintana Rue Dunn was, Didion writes, a quicksilver child, moody. The moods shifted rapidly. Eventually, there was a diagnosis, borderline personality disorder. Didion neither understood nor accepted that diagnosis. Blue Nights begins in Manhattan with Quintana's wedding day, July 26th, 2003. It was a happy day.
She wanted to have leis instead of bouquets.
Because she'd spent enough time in Hawaii.
Because she spent so much time in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to wear her hair in a braid down her back. She'd worn it that way as a child when we lived at the beach. She wanted to have cucumber and watercress sandwiches. Everything about her wedding had to represent her past.
It's lovely. It's as if she pulled together her very best memories
mm-hmm.
for that one special day.
For that one day.
Memories now for Joan Didion are stored in boxes, in drawers, closets, the things she saved.
I saved dresses I bought for her when she was 4 or 5. Well, I remember it particularly because it's still hanging in her closet. A black challis, wool challis dress with roses on it that I bought at Bendel's.
Hmm. Can you open that closet door?
I open that closet door all the time now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what you write is, in theory, these mementos serve to bring back the moment. In fact, they serve only to make clear how inadequately I appreciated the moment when
it was here. Yes, exactly.
The business of public reaction, I find, too, having lost my husband, people don't know what to say to you. And what they will say, and they're trying it just in good nature and trying to be sympathetic and positive, they will say, well, you have your memories.
You have your wonderful memories. Yes, exactly. I don't know how many people said that to me.
Have you found the best answer to that?
No, I haven't. I've never found any. Did you find one?
No. I say yes, I do.
That's what I say.
I lie. It's hard, but good to laugh. Good to get her to laugh. It's a way to move through harrowing times, unimaginable losses. And writing helps. Joan Didion's new book is called Blue Nights. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.